was of the inhabitants of Gilead, saying to Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Give thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I commanded the raven to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse number 7. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. What will you do if you lose your job? What will you do if our country faces another depression? What will you do if you lose your health? Some of you sitting in this room today may very well receive news sometime during this year that you've only got a short time to live. When you receive that news, what's your reaction going to be to that? What will you do if you lose your mate? Children. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? We see here a crisis situation developing in this passage. And I think the truth in this passage is not just for Elijah and the people of Israel, but maybe for some of us today. The fact is that many times in our lives, there are times when our brook starts drying up on us. And we see a crisis situation developing here in this passage, and we know how it's going to end. We know because we've read the rest of the chapter. And Elijah, at this point, he didn't know how the chapter was going to end. He didn't know what God had laid ahead in his life. He didn't know the things that God was trying to prepare him for. All he could see at this particular point was that a provision that he had dried up. There was something that he needed in his life, and it was gone. Elijah didn't know about the widow in Zarephath yet. He didn't know that God was going to use him to help that widow. Some may have a crisis situation developing just ahead. If we aren't careful, we will allow that crisis situation to either cause us to panic or else to allow us to crush in our life so that we're no good for the Lord. God had prepared Elijah for the drought in Israel. He had food to eat, he had water to drink, and everything seemed to be okay. And one day, Elijah gets up, he looks at the brook and discovers the brook's not flowing like the brook once flowed before. It's still flowing, but it's not flowing as well as it flowed. He gets up the next morning and it's flowing a little bit less. And the next morning, flowing a little bit less, so one morning he gets up and the brook is gone. The brook is dried up. He sits there and he watches his livelihood go out the window. You know, we don't have Elijah's reaction recorded in the Word of God. I just left to speculate as to how he reacted to this. I don't care to get into speculation, but you can imagine the human response, the flesh response, well, what am I going to do? Here, the brook is dried up. That would be a fleshy response to be like that. But Elijah was a man of God, dependent upon the Lord. You know, I choose to think that he had a different response than the normal fleshy response that we have. I think he realized that his livelihood did not keep upon that brook, but rather his dependence was upon God. I want you to notice six things regarding this passage of Scripture this morning. First of all, is that Elijah was performing the will of God when the brook dried up. He was performing the will of God when the brook dried up. God has a will for every Christian. I don't think that any of us would deny that. If you're here this morning and you are saved by God's grace, God has a will for your life. Elijah had found that will, and he had decided to do God's will for his life. And Elijah had performed the will of God. He had gone before wicked King Ahab, and he had delivered God's message to Ahab, and this was the message that God had told him to deliver. He was told to deliver the message that it was not going to rain. So he said, said it was going to rain. So God told Elijah that it was going to rain again. He went and he did what God told him to do. He delivered that message. He not only did that, but he went where God told him to go. After he had done what God told him to do, the Lord led him to Cherith, led him here by this brook, and he was the one that told him where to go. He had done all that God told him to do. And there's nothing recorded in Scripture that would cause us to believe that there was anything that God was trying to chastise Elijah for. For he had been told what the Word of God was for him to do, the will of God. He had performed that will of God, and now he had done what God told him to do afterward. He had gone to that place that God told him to go. But the brook dried up as a result of Elijah performing the will of God. Think about that for a minute. Elijah went before Ahab and said, it's not going to rain in these years, but according to my word. He cut off the source of what fed that brook. It was in performing the will of God that the brook began to dry up for him. He was in the will of God. But finding and doing the will of God for your life does not exempt you from the trials of life. I think we can see this most clearly from the example of the life of Job. Job was an upright man who hated evil. He eschewed evil. He prayed before to God. He gave his substance to God. He was a godly man who was respected by those who were around him. Yet, Job had probably the greatest trouble that any man has ever had come in the life of the natural man that came into his life. So Elijah was performing the will of God in the brook dried up. Second thing I want you to notice about this passage, not only was he performing the will of God, but Elijah was enjoying the blessings of God when the brook dried up. Elijah was enjoying, first of all, the leadership of the Lord. God told him what to say. And when Elijah spoke, he spoke, "Thus saith the Lord." It was God's word he was speaking. Not only that, God told him where to go. He was enjoying the leadership of the Lord. The Lord said, "Go here," and that's where he went. God told him what to do. Look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. He said, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And so he went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. Elijah was not only enjoying the leadership of the Lord, but Elijah was enjoying the protection of the Lord. Here was a special place of protection that God had put Elijah in to guard him from King Ahab. For I imagine after, when King Ahab heard Elijah the first time, he passed it off and said, this little preacher, I've had my fill of him. What he's got to say really don't apply to me. But after about a couple of weeks of no rain, I imagine he began looking for Elijah. He wanted to know, hey, now where's this guy at? And he's the one that's causing my trouble. He's the one that's causing my problem. Somebody find Elijah for me because I want to let him know what I think about him. He probably was even seeking after Elijah's life. For some reason, God had hid Elijah here by the brook. And so he was enjoying the leadership of the Lord. He was enjoying the protection of the Lord. Not only that, Elijah was enjoying the provision of the Lord. God sent a miracle into his life. Ravens. Ravens who normally think of themselves when it comes to food. God sent ravens to feed him. My, what a miracle. Now, he didn't have to go and labor for his need or do anything in the world. He just sit there and wait. I don't know how many times that the ravens came per day. But whenever he'd get a little hungry, I guess, ravens come flying in. God knew when he got hungry, there would be the food. We're not told what kind of food it was. But nevertheless, the provision of the Lord was there. And God provided the brook for him to take and drink. Sometimes God uses the strangest things to accomplish his will in our life. God can even use the raven. Who, by the way, a raven was an unclean bird. As according to the book of the law, it was an unclean bird. And God used that unclean bird to take and bring his will, to work his will in the life of Elijah. something else here is that Elijah's time of crisis came right in the midst of his enjoying God's blessings. I mean, the brook began to dry up, and all of a sudden one day it was dry. And you know, the same thing can happen in our lives. We can be in the center of God's will. We can be doing and what God has told us to do, saying what God has told us to say, going where God tells us to go, enjoying the blessings of God, enjoying the provision of God, enjoying the protection of God, and then all of a sudden our brook begins to dry up. And one day it may even become dry, like Elijah's brook. But I want you to notice a third thing about this passage of Scripture is that Elijah's livelihood was not dependent upon the brook, but rather it was dependent upon God. Okay? His sustenance, his being sustained day by day, was not dependent upon whether that brook continued to remain flowing or not. It was dependent upon a righteous and holy God. The brook was just as much a provision of God as the raven bringing his food. Now, it's quite possible that Elijah had taken the brook for granted. You know, it's easy sometimes for us to take a look at the miraculous things that God does in our life and to forget just the little day-to-day provisions that He brings our way. I mean, I can see Elijah taking a look at this raven and marveling that God could use a raven, an unclean bird, to take and bring him food day by day. And he was sitting there marveling at the raven and just kind of taking that brook that God put him by, just taking it for granted. Oftentimes, we direct our minds to the miraculous provision of God and we lose focus of those things that are maybe not so miraculous but are still the provisions of the Lord. You know, our livelihood is the same way as Elijah's. It's not dependent upon anything in this life, but rather it's dependent upon God. There may be some that are here in this room this morning that you think that your livelihood is in reaching some financial plateau in life. You think, boy, you know, if I can just get here in life, then I will have arrived. Others may think that their livelihood is in a Social Security check or in a weekly paycheck. That's not where your livelihood's at. Others may think that your life hinges around a particular job that you have. You know, there were many persons back in the 1929 stock market crash that they thought that their livelihood had gone out the door. When the stock market crashed, they saw all this wealth that they had built up that they considered to be their livelihood. They saw it out the door. They couldn't handle the fact that their quote-unquote livelihood was gone. And so they committed suicide. What they didn't realize is that their livelihood does not depend upon the things of this world, but it depends upon a righteous and holy God. Our livelihood doesn't depend upon our action or ability. Our livelihood hinges on God's divine purpose in our lives. Any other dependency will cause a crisis in our lives and will cause us to panic. When things start happening in our lives, when our brooks begin drying up, we can either have a proper reaction to it or we can have an improper reaction. We can take and wring our hands and fret and worry and wonder what in the world's going on and wonder where God's at. Or we can take and see God's hand in those things, taking and molding us and making us into what He wants us to be. You know, Elijah's life didn't end when the brook dried up. It didn't end, did it? God just moved him right on down the road. His life did not end when the brook dried up, and neither will ours. Our lives will not end when we face a crisis situation in our lives. We think that, boy, this is it. If we're saved by God's grace, if we are in the center of God's will, then we don't have anything to worry about. God always has something down the road to sustain us. Look at verse number 8. Right after the brook dried up, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Brook dried up. Elijah got thirsty. And God provided him a drink. God made an additional provision in his life. God had something down the road for him. Now, if that something may be tangible, maybe something tangible in our lives, but it may also be something that's intangible. I think of a need that came in the Apostle Paul's life. You know, he had a physical brook that dried up in his life. There was a physical infirmity that he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Just hold your place there. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Let's look at Paul's brook that dried up. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. Let's back at the verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." What's he talking about here? Paul was talking about God had been revealing to him the Word of God. I mean, you look at the books that Paul wrote. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. I mean, let's just keep on going on and on. God was revealing to him the Word of God. Yet at a time when he was doing the will of God, God was blessing in his life. There came a brook that dried up in his life. There came a messenger of Satan above him. There was a physical infirmity that came his way. A thorn in the flesh is what he called it. He says in verse number 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What do we see? We see that God did make a provision for Paul, but it was not a tangible provision. It was intangible. It was provision of grace. It wasn't something that you could lay your hand on. Paul was looking for that tangible evidence. Many times we look for that tangible evidence. We look for that miraculous provision of financial things whenever things are not going very well financially. We look whenever things are not going very well physically for God to take and touch our body. And that's not wrong for us to look for those things. But what I'm saying is that God's blessings, God's provision may come in some area other than the tangible meeting of that need. It may be intangible. As in the case of Paul, God provided him the grace to sustain him through that physical need that he had. And he was able to glory in his infirmities. God always has the crisis under control, though. You know, the brook drying up was not a crisis to God. The things that come our way in our Christian life that we consider crises, they're not crises at all to God. They didn't catch God by surprise. Brother Adcock, the illness that you had last year that almost took your life away, that illness came as a surprise to you, came as a shock to you, but didn't catch God by surprise at all. God had His purpose. He had His plan in bringing you through that. Brother Meadows, with the kidney problems that you're experiencing right now, didn't catch God by surprise. It may cost you by surprise, but didn't catch God by surprise. God has a purpose. He has a plan as He's working through that. Others in here, we could talk about that you're going through a crisis. John, down on the sod farm, the crisis that's down there, a crisis situation. Caught Brother Ed and you and others by surprise, but God knew all along that was coming your way. It was not a crisis situation to the Lord. It's part of His divine plan. It was part of God's divine plan in Elijah's life to take and move him to a different place of service. God was taking and using this situation of the brook drying up to move him along, take and move him to that next step. Now, God used this crisis to teach Elijah a lesson in faith. Boy, it took some faith, too, didn't it? I mean, you need water. You can do without food longer than you can do without water. There's not too many of us that can handle thirst. I mean, we start looking for a water faucet around somewhere. You start looking for somewhere to grab you a glass of tea or something. I mean, when that thirst comes, you want that thirst quenched. Elijah was flesh and blood just like us. There wasn't anything super about him other than the super God that he served. Here, this man of God became thirsty. He had faith in God. God was trying to prepare him for greater service. Elijah still had four great experiences yet to face. Think of it. He didn't know about them. He didn't know what was down the road. Yet we can take a look and see. We kind of want to say, Elijah, look at what God's got ready for you. Look at what the Lord has down the road. You know, we'd like to look down the road, wouldn't we? We'd like to be able to take a look 3 months from now, and a year from now, and 2 years from now, and be able to see what in the world is God doing in my life? Where in the world is God trying to lead me through the difficulties, through the circumstances that I'm facing at this particular time? But, you know, many times if we even saw what God was doing, most of the time we probably wouldn't believe it. It would blow our minds. It'd be too heavy for us to handle. But we see God had four great experiences yet for him to face. Here was a widow woman that God sent him to, that her provisions were about run out. I mean, they were almost gone. Elijah asked for a drink of water from her, and then he asked her to take him. Give him something to eat. She said, wait a minute now. But I was just fixing to go in here and prepare the last meal for me and my son so we could die. You know, there's food's gone. I have a little bit, handful of meal, got a little cruise of oil. Elijah said, go make me a cake first. He believed that God was going to sustain that woman. How did he develop that strong faith? I believe it was through God's provision right here. God had provided him a drink of water through this woman, and he knew that God could provide through him or her those provisions that she needed. Not only that, as Elijah is here with this widow woman, the widow woman's son dies. Think about that. Here, the widow is expecting God's blessings to be on her house. I mean, after all, she is feeding the man of God. She is providing the necessities for this man. She's trying to do what's right, trying to do the will of God, and her brook dries up. Her son dies. What did she need? She needed that strong faith that God had developed in Elijah. And God used Elijah to take and seek God's face and to raise her son from the dead. We see Mount Carmel is yet to come, and the prophets of Baal. How was Elijah able to take a stand against these wicked, godless people? How was he able to take a stand against the likes of Ahab and Jezebel? It's because of the faith that God developed in him here by the brook Cherith. He has yet to be threatened by Jezebel. And yes, Elijah had a little slip when it came to Jezebel hunting him down. Jezebel, I mean, he stood strong on the word of God, stood up for God. And then Jezebel said, but I'm going to have him. He's a dead man. And just like all of us, sometimes our faith slips a little bit. And Elijah went on the run. But God even caught him on the run. God protected him. Now, God will use the crisis times in our life to teach us lessons of faith. And God will use the crisis times in our life to prepare us for greater service. The important thing, though, is that we do what Elijah did. And that is to respond properly to the crisis that comes in our life. And Elijah responded properly. He waited upon God, and God ended the crisis. We're not told in Scripture that Elijah panicked. We're not told that he moved, went on down anywhere else. And old Satan's trying to take and just mess this service up this morning, ain't he? We had a phone call during Sunday school. Had some folks come in before. Now a phone call now. But let's get our minds directed back to the message, okay? Elijah responded properly to the crisis in his life. He waited upon God. He waited upon God. He did not panic. We're not told that he got all up in arms and said, "What in the world am I going to do? My brook's dried up. What am I going to drink?" We don't see that. What do we see Elijah doing? We don't see him going and seeking for water anywhere else. That would have been kind of dumb, really. It'd been kind of foolish for Elijah to try to go find water somewhere else, because if the rain had stopped, and there wasn't any water anywhere else. I mean, if you go looking for a brook, the brooks are going to be dried up. So what did he have to do? Wait on God. Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is what we see in Elijah's life. He waited upon God. You know, when in doubt about what to do, the best thing to do is just wait. When you don't have clear direction as to where to move, the best thing to do is to not move. You ever been guilty of stepping ahead of God before? Trying to get ahead of God, trying to guess the direction that God would have you to go before God's really giving you clear direction what to do? I've been there before. The best thing that you can do is to wait on God. His only recourse was to wait upon the Lord. There was nothing else that he could do. And you know, really, that's our only recourse. In the midst of crisis, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of whatever we find ourselves in the midst of, our only recourse is to wait upon God and to turn that crisis situation over to Him. I wonder this morning, is your brook drying up? Is there an area in your life you just don't understand what God's trying to do? Oh, maybe doing the will of God. Maybe, you know, you may be right on line in doing what God wants you to do. But there's something just kind of knocks you for a loop and you just don't know how to handle it. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon Him. Maybe this morning the reason your brook's drying up, because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, the Lord said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Friend, if the crisis situation in your life is because you don't have Jesus in your life, the only answer to that crisis is not waiting upon the Lord, is to accept the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. Christ died for your sins. He lives today. He was buried in a cruel grave, and He arose again. And He wants to save you. Say, "Well, if I get saved, will that end the crisis in my life?" Maybe, maybe not. It'll end the crisis of your eternal destiny. It'll end the crisis of the fact that you're condemned to an eternity in hell apart from God. It'll end that crisis. You know, I had a fellow come to me several years ago now. I probably related this story. But the fellow's name is Dennis. Dennis came walking in. I was associate pastor at Bible Baptist Church in Brunswick, Dennis came walking in there. He'd been working with a friend of mine. He had seen this guy's Christian testimony, and there was nothing he could say against him. A crisis situation developed in his life. He was lost. He was undone. He was that without the Lord. He had a new baby. Didn't have any insurance. Finances were bad. Things were just caving in. His whole life just seemed to be caving in on him. He came by the church, and he said when he drove, he told me this after he came in. He said the Lord had to have a hand in this, because I said if the door was open, standing open, then I would come in and look for some help. And just so happened that day, it was hot. I didn't have any air conditioning in my office. The office where I was at was right up there by the door. I had the door standing wide open. You don't think that wasn't the provision of God? You don't think that wasn't God's hand working in that situation? You can't tell me anything different. He said if the door had been closed, he'd have gone on his way. But the door was open. He came in and he told me his plight. I knew what his root problem was. He needed Jesus. And I told him, I said, you know, Marcus talked to you before, and I've talked to you a little bit. So what you need to do is you need to trust the Lord. Trust Him to save you. He said, do you think that'll help problems that I'm facing? I said, Dennis, I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't believe in a pie in the sky religion. I don't believe just because that you ask the Lord in your heart to all your troubles go away and hunky-dory, you know, I don't believe in this hunky-dory Christianity that many of these TV preachers try to come across. But if you'll just trust Jesus, everything just goes like it's supposed to in your life. You never have any problems, never have any physical problems, never have any financial problems, never have any kind of problems. I said, I don't believe that. I said, but I will tell you this. I said, if you trust the Lord, you'll have someone that will help you through the crisis that's in your life. Right now, you have no one. But you trust the Lord, you get saved. And the Lord will help you through these difficult times. Several days, I think it was that night. I think it was either that night or the next night, while he was in his bed, under conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, he trusted the Lord as his Savior. And he has since given testimony to the fact what I said was true. And when he got saved, all of his problems didn't vanish out of sight. But that he did have someone that helped him through those problems. He's not regretted trusting Jesus. My friend, this morning, you won't regret trusting Jesus either. God loves you. He wants to help you this morning. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning. You've got a brook that's drying up somewhere. Maybe only you and God know about it. Maybe you and your spouse. Maybe your kids. Remember, your livelihood is not dependent upon you or upon anything else. Your livelihood is dependent upon God. Our lives don't end when our brook dries up. God may be trying to teach you a lesson of faith to prepare you for some greater service that's right down the road. The question is this morning, how are you going to respond to the crisis? How are you going to respond to the crisis? Are you going to wait upon the Lord? Are you going to fret? Are you going to worry? We will respond as Elijah responded. God will take and intervene in our lives just as He intervened in the life of Elijah. Let's bow for prayer, please. I don't know who's hurting here this morning. Here this morning is God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you've never trusted Christ. Say, Brother Jerry, I'm not sure that I'm saved. God's spoken to me this morning about crises that are going on in my life. And I realize a lot of my problem is because I don't have anyone to help me through the problem. I don't have Jesus. And I want you to pray for me that I might know that I'm saved before I leave here today. I want to pray with you. How about lift your hand up and say, Brother Jerry, please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anyone? Okay. Christian friend? I don't know what you might be going through in your personal life. I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. But I do know that we all face crises sometimes. You may be going through some right now, and if you're not going through it right now, it may be right down the road. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now, and you just need someone to pray with you about it. So, Brother Jerry, I lift my hand and just ask that you pray that I might respond properly to the crisis that's going on in my life. Anyone like that this morning? Yes, I see that hand. Yes, yes. Several hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? I want to be able to properly respond to the crisis that's in my life. Anyone else? While we wait just a minute. Let's pray. Father, we look to you this morning for strength. We wait upon you. God, our thoughts are limited. Our understanding is limited. Many times things come our way that we just really cannot figure out. God, there's some folks here this morning that are hurting. Maybe are confused as to what you're trying to speak to them. God, help them to lean upon you during this time, to wait upon you, to look for the benefits that come out. God, strengthen their faith through this difficult time. God, I ask you to strengthen my own faith. God, we need to trust you more and more each day as we live. And we thank you for even the difficult times that come our way. You say it in everything, give thanks. We give thanks that you work things out to our good, that you know beforehand the problems that we have, that nothing takes you by surprise, that your grace is sufficient. God, speak to hearts this morning. Strengthen faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.